The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, have you... Well, he is in his pyjamas still, so...
Yeah.
Been a bit of a rough night.
Well, as per usual on this show, we will start with a health discussion, but unusually...
And not just about my socket.
But not you. Not about your dry sockets and your brain. Yeah.
No, my brain's fine today. I've been taking lion's mane.
Your dry brain and your wet socket or something.
Oh, dear, that's very squelchy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What an image. How is your lovely mummy?
Well, I don't really know at the moment.
Because you've left her...
I left her
lying.
On a gurney. In A&E after 22 hours with a poorly leg.
And this is Maidstone?
Yeah, Maidstone Hospital. Yeah. And they've texted me to say that they think she's got a problem with her leg.
Which is why you took her in.
Yeah, really, yeah. There's no flies on them, is there?
So what's happening with her leg?
Nothing. It's dead.
Oh, okay. So
she's a dead leg.
So
no.
She can't walk on it?
No, she can't lift it and she can't walk. She had a fall. She had a fall yesterday morning and she's fallen on her hip. We thought she may have fractured it or broken her hip, but after 6 hours, they managed to do an x-ray and found that there was nothing like that. And then we spent the next 18 hours just laying around. And then today they said they were going to release her, and then somebody came to look at her and said, oh, she can't walk.
Do you know, I was just thinking that, because you and I over the years have had quite a lot of these, and my new husband was left for 6 hours waiting for an ambulance when he fell off his bike. That was after Miriam's birthday party, you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And he went off to get fish and chips.
Was he drunk?
No, because he'd been driving. He was sober. That was probably the problem.
Nail on the head right away there.
He tried
to bicycle sober.
He was actually very naughty. He did something that I've always told him not to, which is typical. He had the dog on the lead, border collie, and the dog went one way and he went the other round a lamppost. So he fell off just outside our house. But he was lying in the road for 6 hours, bleeding from the head. And the police came quite quickly and they said, you can't move him.
Well, they arrested him for loitering.
Arrested him for being cruel to a dog, I think. Because the dog came home on its own. It was very scary.
Yeah.
But long story short, 6 hours lying in the middle of the road with a bleeding head waiting for it. And that was, 10 years ago, Miriam's birthday. And then my mother, of course, Ruth at Margate.
Oh, we're not going to do the entire family's medical history. We are. Sorry.
My mother, Ruth, broke her wrist in lockdown. Oh. And I took her to Margate A&E.
Mm.
And she'd called 111 and they said it needs to be seen within 2 hours, otherwise it will set on its own wrongly. And they left her. They wouldn't let me in with her because it was lockdown. Mm. It was the hottest day of the year, 2021. So I had to sit in Margate car park for how many hours was it? Six hours.
Mm.
While they left her on a trolley. And I kept going into the door and saying to the receptionist, can she have a drink? Can you make sure that she's got painkillers? And they kept going up going, you're all right, Ruth, do you want your painkillers?
Mm.
Oh, yes, please. And, do you want a drink? Yes, please. And she never got it in 6 hours.
Mm.
And then she came out with it, in a plaster after 6 hours. And it's deformed. It's got a great big, she can't use it. It's got a great big hump. So when I complained,
they inserted a camel in her.
Humphrey.
Yeah.
But when I complained, they said, oh, no, we couldn't do it here.
Mm.
We couldn't do it at this hospital. And I said, it hasn't been set properly. Oh, no, we couldn't do it here. What is that? Oh. I mean, it's... So are you going to write to your MP?
What about Ruth?
Well, do that as well, because I'm bombarding poor Rosie Duffield about the Pfizer jabs, which I didn't have, but I'm doing it on behalf of others.
The thing I like about this show, guys, is I don't have to do anything. Yeah, I just mentioned I had a problem, and before you know it, we get an entire two-hour programme about Jules's past life.
The thing I like about this show is
you get chocolates.
Our guests.
And flowers.
She
got flowers and chocolates.
I know, it's amazing. I feel very happy. And I will be saying to my new husband, I have all these men that are buying me flowers and chocolates just to keep him on his toes.
Oh, Gavin, she is really previous at the moment, mate.
Keep him on his toes.
She's coming over.
I'm uppity.
She's coming over all a flutter in here, I tell you.
I'm an uppity person.
Yeah.
And, talking about Whitstable, we've got...
We weren't talking about Whitstable. We never mentioned Whitstable.
We are now. while we're moaning. So do write to your MP, because I've actually...
There's no point.
No, actually, Rosie Duffield's been brilliant. I've had a Zoom with her.
There's no point in me writing to my MP.
Why not? Can't you write?
he's just about to lose his job at the next election, and where we live, they're changing the boundaries, and he ain't going to get back in no matter what.
Why don't you run for MP?
I'll get out of it.
Go on, you'd be good at it.
I'll tell you what.
You could rant all day then.
I'll tell you what, 15 years ago, I stood as an independent local councillor. And that, what an eye-opener that is, into the great British public and their stupidity.
The public or the...
Well, no, I went...
Or our councillors?
No, the public, the voting public.
Okay.
Right? I went knocking on doors as an independent councillor, right? This area has always been Tory since, you know, Robert Peel. It's never been any other council other than the Tory, and everybody moans like mad. So I knock on this bloke's door, and he comes to the door, and I said, I'm the independent candidate. Would you consider voting for me? No. And I go, okay, fair enough. Who are you going to vote for? He went, Labour. I went, you can't. And he went, don't you tell me what I can do. I go, no, I'm telling you, you can't, because there isn't one. And he went, I don't care what you say, mate. I'm voting Labour. I said, but you can't vote for Labour, because there is no Labour candidate standing in this ward. If you want to get rid of the other lot, the only option you got is me. And he went, well, I'm not voting for you. Well, fair enough.
and now he's stuck.
Yeah.
Well, they've... well, Whitstable, it took me 20 minutes to get out of my own road the other day. All the roads are closed. They're all blocked off. There's, like, roadworks everywhere. Then Longreach, you know, the top of Whitstable High Street, there's a whole roundabout there. That's... You can't even go round it. They've stopped the buses. We've got Estuary View, which is a big medical centre, urgent care, urgent treatment care. Mind you, when I go there, I sit there for hours and they go, you need to go to A&E. So it's not really an urgent treatment care, but never mind. That's another story. So now they've stopped the buses. So there's a lady just texted me or tweeted me in a wheelchair trying to get to Estuary View Medical Centre, but she can't because there's no buses anymore. It's bonkers. There's just road closures everywhere in Whitstable. Have you got that near you? In your
road
park?
Closes, yeah, every road's closed. Leeds is closed at the moment by Leeds
but
Castle.
Even coming along from Whitstable on the A2 towards Ashford, it's 50 miles an hour and they've got orange cones
could
for
be
miles.
Worse. You could live in Wales.
Well, no, let me tell you, there's orange cones for miles and not one man doing anything.
No, that's on what, on the M2?
No, the A2. Whatever that is, before the M2, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they
around Faversham.
Yeah, they love shutting the motorway around here, don't they?
I know,
they,
and
they
it's like...
Operation Brock and all that.
It's police speed check, but there's no reason. And then if it goes on for weeks, which it has been, you sort of start to cry wolf, don't you? And you just, I think, I push it a bit, go 60. Nobody's got me. Go. I should be going 70. No, 60, maybe. 70, yeah. Tell me about Wales. Tell me about Wales.
Come and get me.
Tell me about Wales.
The speed limit in Wales is 20 miles an hour.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right, and Gareth Wynne-Jones, who's the lovely Welsh farmer.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's often
personally.
Isn't he on Jeremy Vine?
Yeah, yeah, he brings my sheep round for then.
He has been shouting for support for the farmers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not getting a fair deal from the supermarkets.
Absolutely.
So if you're listening, find your local farm and go and buy locally.
Farm shop.
Just buy direct off the farmer.
Yeah, yeah. Shall we, for a change, shall we actually do some tweets and emails rather than
we've
listen
had quite,
to your medical history?
Quite a bit. Well, it was your medical history.
Yeah, but I never told you anything.
Well, do you want to?
I never said a word.
You've got 5 minutes. There's only 13:09.
Yeah, I said I did 22 hours in A&E and then you launched into one about your dry sockets, roof, a camel hump and everything else.
I was just feeling so angry, Paul.
I was
furious. Like,
thank you.
Steam coming out of my ears.
Thank you.
Because... We're helpless. We all shout about it, but what are we actually doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Write to your MP, even the new one, when they come. Rosie Duffer has been great. We've had a Zoom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's
so she had an office in my place in Fruitworks when she was first elected. Yeah. Right. Michael Park Surveyors.
Hello.
Have been on. Looking forward to tuning in to our favourite radio show, Business Bunker Show, today, and listening to the great guests that you've got on. And we'd love a shout out, please. So consider yourself shouted out. That's Michael Park Surveyors. They're commercial surveyors based in the Medway City Estate in Rochester, covering the southeast of England.
And they're lovely.
Gravesham
for Business on the Twitter. They are Gravesham for Biz. On the Twitter, if you want to follow them, do. They say, go for it, PUFC_Gravesend. That's another Twitter handle, PUFC in caps. underscore Gravesend. What an achievement reaching the Kent Senior Cup quarter final and playing the FA Cup Giant Slayers Maidstone United. I know nothing about football. That would mean a lot to you, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And they say, surely, B Bunker, worth a shout out on the B Bunker radio station with me first. And then they mentioned you as an afterthought this afternoon. So, yeah, we've given you a healthy thing. So what do you know about it?
What do you want to know about it? Maidstone United, who currently play in the National League Southern Division, are 98 places below Ipswich Town, who are at the top of the Championship, and they beat them 2-1 away.
Well, Punjab United FC, PUFC underscore Gravesend, say today's the day, is the biggest game in our history. I've gone all croaky, is on the horizon as we take on Maidstone United in the Kent Senior Cup quarterfinal. So that was today, Tuesday, 30th of January.
Yep.
So well done. And
that's
they
tonight.
Say it's tonight. Adults, £10. Concessions, £5. Under 16s, free. You could get in then. And it's at the Gallagher Stadium, James Watman Way, Maidstone, M for Mother, E for Egbert, 15, 1, L for Lima, Q for Queen.
she makes it up as she goes
so
on.
That sounds great, well done. I love that. I wish I knew more about football. We have three listener, the studio is full of testosterone today. We've got three hunks and a radio
and
presenter and a man in his pyjamas who's spent all night in A&E with his
mother. Thought you wanted to know about football. You changed the subject again, haven't you?
Yeah, tell me about football.
Well, what do you want to know?
What's the right wing? They run up the side, don't they?
So Maidstone are now in the fifth round of the FA Cup. It's the highest they've ever been.
That's really good.
And they've actually drawn Sheffield Wednesday or Coventry away. But it'll be a big payday for them. They'll earn quite a lot of money out of it, which is good. But tonight they're not playing in the FA Cup. They're playing in the Kent Senior Cup.
Okay. But what does that mean?
It's a different cup competition.
Does it mean they're older?
No.
Wheelchairs and...
No. Okay. The Kent Senior Cup is the most prestigious cup in Kent.
Wow.
So it's for senior teams. There are different hierarchies of teams. And teams like Maidstone, Gillingham, surprisingly Charlton and Millwall are all senior teams in Kent.
When I was about six, I used to... I was sort of adopted by one of our neighbours, Hilda Maud and Don Frost, no longer around, of course. And he was a carpenter. Mm. And I used to go in the back of their van when I was about five or six to football matches and had a little rattle. You know, do they still have rattles?
Yeah.
Rattles? A little wooden rattle. I used to love that.
You wouldn't get a rattle in a football ground now. You'd be arrested within 20 miles of the ground. It's an offensive weapon.
Really?
Of course it is, yeah.
Well,
anyway
I used to
you wanted to know. I'm going to get this out eventually.
Oh, you're still going on? Okay, carry on.
I actually played for Maidstone.
He paused for breath.
She doesn't listen to a word.
No, I'm riveted, yeah.
No, you're not. You didn't. Yeah. What did I just say?
You have something about football.
Yeah, exactly. I played for Maidstone.
All right.
In the Kent Senior Cup against Millwall, and we won.
That's
1-0.
Really good. Millwall, they're quite high up, aren't they?
They are. Indeed, they are these days, yeah.
I was more of a hockey girl, really.
Mm-hmm.
But well done, that's great.
You
are quite good at football. I've seen you in,
well,
in
not
the...
now, I'm 70 years old, but I mean, still alive, I was okay.
I've seen you on the pitch, and you're quite impressive,
yeah.
Luke, do you play football? Because you look quite, without being rude, you look quite beefy. I mean, look, he's got huge muscles.
Don't touch the merchandise.
No, I wouldn't dare, because it's not allowed now, is it?
No, you know?
But I'm figuring you to eat a lot of protein.
Do love a bit of protein.
How many eggs?
Not Mr. Strong, as many as I can count.
Yeah, is it egg whites only, or is it yolks as well?
Two yolks.
Good. I see, it's just like Josh, my oldest. It really upsets me. I go, please make a meringue with the ones you're throwing. Make something. I send him recipes, what to do with your yolks.
Anyway, you lost track there.
Mayonnaise, yeah, you can make.
You see, because... Luke looks more like a rugby player to me.
He's huge, yeah. I don't mean huge
rugby?
In a bad way. I mean huge
neither.
In a...
Oh, shut up, Lucas.
Neither. No, martial arts.
Oh?
All right, jiu-jitsu. Okay.
Really? So is jiu-jitsu a bit like karate, or do you slam people over?
Yes, you do, yeah.
Have a go with Paul in the break.
Thank you. I'm not happy with Luke's microphone. It isn't loud enough. I'm going to need Luke to get a bit nearer. No, you can't do anything there. It was a bit low, that's all. I've turned it up a bit, so we'll...
How's that?
It's right? Okay, but it's still not brilliant.
Just shout a bit, yeah. And we'll work it out in the break. Yeah. So, jiu-jitsu. Yeah, say it jiu-jitsu. Much better. Yeah. It sounds like the post office crisis, doesn't it? What were they called?
Well, hold on. That's yeah. Fujitsu, that.
Yeah, same. But, yeah. See what I mean?
But there's a better,
very close. Isn't
but there's
it?
A better one, which is Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and it isn't what you think.
Is that with bottoms out? Or
yeah.
What is that? What is it?
Well, Brazilian.
You can't just
jiu-jitsu.
Say it and then
it's
go quiet.
It's martial arts, but you have your body shaved, obviously.
Body shaved. Oh,
can you hear that? Bing, many drops.
Well, I wouldn't thought you could say that on radio.
Yeah, well,
we're
there
on
you go.
FM, darling. It's, yeah, you know, got to be careful.
And anyway, look, we've had another tweet from Michael Parks.
Are they talking about my socket? I'm not sure.
Okay. They say thank you so much for the shout out. Hope your mum's feeling better, and we're really looking forward to listening to Luke and Adam and Tony. See, they're subtly going, get on with it, Paul. Stop her yakking and get on with it.
Martin Reeves is and the Vandellas. Mm. He says, I'd love a Bee Bunker shout out. He's avidly used the Bee Bunker hashtag. If you want to mention, please use it, Bee Bunker. He said, I'd love a Bee Bunker shout out, please. We'll be listening live as I've been given a list of chores to do by the boss, which is his missus, of course. Mm-hmm. He said, I hope Paul's mum feels better soon, get well soon. And, well, get on with your chores and we make nice background. I expect he's having to sweep and things.
Okay. Do you know what we're going to do next?
Tunage.
Cheesy tunage. What do you reckon on this?
I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden.
Obviously.
Lynn Paul.
Exactly, Lynn Anderson. Yeah.
Lynn someone.
Yeah.
Good though, aren't I?
Yeah.
Garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. Oh, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't. Sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. There's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon.
Hey, Lynn Anderson there. Rose garden. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, up all night thinking about that.
I was. Funnily enough, there was quite a lot of tracks.
About gardens.
There wasn't a lot about landscaping or...
Roughy-toughy stuff.
Yeah.
Good year for the roses you could have had, Elvis Costello.
Yeah. There was loads of garden-related ones, but I thought that would be a nice pick. I don't know why, but what do you reckon? Cheesy tunage?
Yeah. Well, I've been looking at the... Terra Firma landscapes on the Instagram. They're doing some lovely stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out any minute now, yeah. So we're going to talk to the guys. I've got a little bit of a problem with one of the microphones, so do be with us, and they're going to share a mic.
They're going to be together.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Yeah. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Luke and Adam from Terra Firma Landscapes onto the Business Bunker Show. We've had Adam before.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and we did have Luke before, but not the same Luke. But it's a pleasure to welcome Luke as well. So, hello, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
That's much better. That's much better. So, kick off by telling us about Terra Firma Landscapes. If I'm right, Luke, it's your business. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Paul. So, I took it over just as lockdown hit, 2020.
Great.
Good move.
It was kind of given away.
The old governor
was... Yeah, we don't want it anymore. Yeah. So, took it on.
Was there an inkling of lockdown at the time, or...?
Oh, no, lockdown had happened.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you were just...
Were you involved with the business before that?
We were in talks about it.
Right.
He was like, well, I've got a business, not doing very well.
What was your background, Luke? What were you doing before that?
So, at the time, I was still a firefighter in...
I love a fireman. Shame he didn't come in all the...
Yeah.
And a pole.
Yeah. All right, calm down.
So, you're a fireman, full-time?
Yeah, full-time.
Wow.
The four-on, four-off really kind of works with the part-time job.
Yeah. And jujitsu.
Yeah, bless you.
Yeah.
So you had this opportunity to acquire a business, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had a background in tree surgery anyway, and it's very...
I also love a tree fella.
Yeah, goodness sake, stop it.
I'm ticking all the boxes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've kind of got a kind of background in that kind of field, so...
Okay.
I thought I'd just give it my best shot, see how we get on.
Okay.
Business went absolutely dead for 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And then we got the first phone call when it was, are you still working?
Right, yeah.
And then the floodgates opened. But then everyone started their own businesses.
Right.
So we had to kind of try and find good people to keep up with demand whilst maintaining quality.
Because everybody discovered their garden during lockdown.
Absolutely right.
You know, and wanted space to sit in and areas and, heaters and the whole lot. Yeah.
I'm fast-forwarding a bit here, but it's stream of consciousness. Do you do things like garden rooms and garden offices and stuff like that? Or I know you probably don't build the offices, but, do you prepare the ground for things like that?
Yeah, we do the groundworks. We do work in partnership with in-frame garden spaces, who are in our brochure as well.
Right.
And they do the kind of the high-end, really good quality garden rooms. So it kind of complements our landscaping really, really well.
Is that a big thing still? Did you get a lot of call for that, or...?
I'd say probably 1 out of 15 inquiries has a garden room attached to it.
Right, okay. All right, so let's go back. Sorry, I kind of moved you on to something completely different there. So you acquired a business back in 2020?
Correct, yes.
Managed to survive your way through the lockdown, unlike a lot of us that got really badly hit by that. It's one of those funny things, isn't it? As Jules says, I guess a lot of people being thrown at home all the day kind of went, blimey, haven't been in my garden for a long time. Bit of a mess, this. Yeah. And I know you're not... I want you to explain to the listeners as well the difference, because I know you're not a gardening company. Mm. Yeah. You're a landscaping company. Yeah. Give us a feel for what the actual difference between those kind of functions are.
So gardening would be more the maintenance side of things.
Yeah.
So,
and the planting.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just an ingredient of landscaping as a whole.
Yeah.
So the kind of the Terra Firma group offers gardening, maintenance, planting plans, hard and soft landscaping as well.
Okay.
Because, you go, someone would call in and go, oh, can you do some planting for me? Yeah. Actually, I need my stairs redone as well.
Yeah.
So it made sense to kind of cover every element.
You've got a team of gardeners. I remember when Adam was on before, you ran us through. You had a lady gardener, I seem to remember, who was quite, she looked great. Was that funny? Honestly.
A lady garden.
A lady, no, a lady gardener. I remember you had. You can mention her if she's still
with
you.
We're changing the structure slightly.
Okay.
With how the business works. So, yeah, we have got a maintenance side of the company now. And it does, yeah, as Luke said, we just want to cover all bases. So we're not just doing a garden for somebody and then
leaving
it. There you go, see you later, bye. Chances are they're not amazingly green-fingered, a lot of people.
Hey, absolutely.
And it will go to rack and ruin. So if we can keep it nice for them, that's a sort of opportunity for us.
Yeah. I specialise in rack and ruin.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, it's my garden.
That's what we're employed.
That sounds my garden. I like to call it a wild garden. Most people go, you've let your garden go to rack and ruin.
Yep.
Let's just go back to the start of the process. Yeah, so I walk out of my back door and I look at my garden and I think, oh my God.
He's trying to get some free landscaping.
No, I'm not. Shut up. Yeah. I need to do something about this. What's the start point? Do you guys do designs as well? Or do you work with garden designers? How does that work?
We do both. So we offer an in-house CAD service.
Right.
For your simple designs. Mm. If it's a very bespoke design you're looking for, we have three or four designers who all specialise in different kind of, you know, one's contemporary, one's more rustic, quintessentially English.
Yeah.
So we kind of tailor the designer to the client.
Yeah.
And they provide that separately.
Okay, cool.
There's a big thing about drought-resistant plants at the moment, isn't there, I believe?
No, it's just some friends of mine run a business in... I live in Tenston, it's just down the road here. And some friend of mine run a business there called Potter's Home Digital. And they do cinema rooms for the garden. They do outdoor cinema rooms that go in your garden. Absolutely stunning stuff.
Yeah.
You have to put them together with the boys.
Yeah.
That's part of some of the design process, though. So if you... What I normally do and what a lot of the sales guys do is when we go into it is we say, what do you want to use your garden for? That's the main question to ask somebody, because it's a huge area outside. Mm. You know, how do you imagine yourself using it? And then from that, we can kind of tailor a design to it. So garden room, a cinema room, for example, that's a function of the garden. How do we make that come to life? And what do you need to... There's a lot of things that go into making that a reality.
Okay. Do you get involved in swimming pools and stuff? I'm angling here.
I'm definitely angling.
We were actually talking about it on the way down. Yeah, it's not something we currently do, but we have seen a slight demand for it.
Yeah.
So it's something that we may look to do in the future and have a specialist team to do that.
Yeah.
But they're very complicated things, swimming pools.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, honestly, it's not just the building it. It's the plumbing, the maintenance, the...
And the heating.
And the heating, exactly,
With
energy
bills
are just crazy.
Yeah.
So
Well, I've got a swimming pool, and one of the problems is where I live, the ground is almost totally clay. And the whole thing, it's a big swimming pool as well, but the whole thing moves every year as the clay contracts and expands, you know. Yeah. Gets horrible when it's wet and then dries out and cracks when it's...
Well, the water alone in it is just... You think
heavy.
It's water. It's heavy, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you do a whole swimming pool up, it's...
We've got an indoor pool, and Tony might know about this. Tony's our resident construction expert. But we were told never to let the water out, never to empty it, because the house would fall... literally fought collapse. Is that true, Tony?
No. I'm not sure that's true.
Oh, so never empty it by the builder that owned the house.
I wouldn't say never empty it, because your pool should be constantly maintained and treated. So your pool should have sort of what they call a backwash system going on.
Oh, yeah, it's got all that. But he said it was like an upside-down boat, and something about if you drained it, the house would fall down the front of the house.
12 grand to you,
love. Well, interestingly, you shouldn't drain your pool. In some respects, is quite right, because what can happen is the pool can then lift out of the ground.
That's what he meant.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I meant, Tony.
Yeah, so your house collapsing wasn't exactly what he said. Yeah.
So the pool springs up.
There are ways of managing that process.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't want to cut across these guys, so I shouldn't, but, you know, in the past, we've converted indoor swimming pools into another use inside the house.
Oh.
But you do have to carefully manage the idea that you're going to drain all of this water out.
It's quite all right, because we'll let them chip in on your interview as well, because it happens. But I can feel that Tony needs to come round and look at our pool.
Yeah. So coming back to Luke and Adam and Terra Firma and the kind of stuff you're doing, you're thinking about swimming pools.
Pergolas and all that sort of malarkey.
Yeah, absolutely. Be able to.
I love a pergola.
I prefer a BMW myself.
Well, we've got one which is quite established, and I planted jasmine, and it's been amazing about 13 years ago, and it's beautiful. The scent is lovely. And when we do Zooms from the garden, people go, "Where are you?" There's a wisteria in there, and they go, "Where are you? You in Greece?" Mm. You know, it just adds so much to a thing. Let's talk about my bête noire, what I really, really hate, artificial grass.
I think we had this talk last time.
Yeah, artificial grass.
Oops.
Been proven to cause cancer. I'll send you a link.
Oh, everything causes cancer.
Are you getting asked to put in artificial grass, and do you say it's a no from me, or do you do what your client asks for?
Basically, we do semi-do. We want it to be right for the client.
Yeah.
So normally, if they request artificial grass, it's good for a lot of different things. You know, natural grass is fine, and it's great, and it's fantastic for nature. However, there is a certain group of people that would benefit from having artificial grass. For example, if you had some mobility issues, or you were not able to cut the grass, but you wanted a nice space, green space outside, perfect customer for that. It doesn't have to be large. You know, you don't have to pay for a
gardener. I'll give you the classic example of that. Was my dear old, rest his soul, dad. My dad was a gardener. A massive, massive gardener. Towards the end of his life, he replaced his entire lawn with an artificial lawn because he couldn't mow it, he couldn't maintain it, and it wrecked the rest of his garden.
The other thing is trees as well. If you've got an area underneath a tree, for example,
nothing grows.
Yeah. If you've got a lovely lawn, you know, you want it to go up to the borders, you've got no chance of it growing underneath the tree.
I've got a Scottish pine, I think it is, and
does it wear a kilt?
Likes haggis. I rake the pine needles all the time, like constantly rake it, and we've got a couple of grasses that are just about surviving, but it's really difficult.
So I ate a grass.
No, I'm getting a free free idea here from the boys. What would you do? Would you pebble it? I'm not going to put artificial grass, but would you pebble it perhaps?
I mean,
under that pine tree?
With Scots pines, I mean, they drop all year round.
Yeah. But it is beautiful. It adds structure.
Oh, 100%. I'd probably use bark chippings.
Bark chippings.
Like a bigger set mulch.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if more needles fall into it, they will eventually mulch down. Whereas if you put gravel, you're going to be there with tweezers.
Picking it off the gravel. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Do it.
And then the neighbour's cat goes in the gravel as well. You have to have certain size gravel to stop cats.
20 mil and above.
See?
It's a thing.
20 mil?
20 mil thick and above. Otherwise, it will be a litter tray.
Yeah.
10 mil, we always try and advise against 10
mil. Yeah.
100%.
We've got quite a small urban garden, and but we're at the seafront, so... But the I'm trying to get that pine tree, what's it called, protected by the council, because it's really, really old. And I just think if we sell the house, somebody would come and chop it down, because it gives a bit of shade, you know. It gives the shade for about an hour. But, you know, people are very odd about that, aren't they?
So chaps, what's the zeitgeist in landscaping at the moment? Is there a thing that everybody's into? Or, you know, when you're designing gardens? Well, let's kind of dissect this a little bit. You guys are based in South London, Kent, in Orpington area, yeah?
Yeah, we've got a yard in Streatham, service yard, and then where
head office is. Wow, fancy, so central.
Our head office is in Bromley.
Okay, so...
So how far do you go out, radius-wise?
So we'll do the periphery of the M25.
Right,
We prefer to stay south of the river, just for logistics.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the right job, we will go north of the river.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that quite a lot of your jobs are in fairly small gardens, based on that?
The majority is kind of your standard city garden. Up to sort of maybe 150 square metres.
Right, okay. So what are the kind of features that people like in those types of properties? What are the kind of things people are doing?
I mean, usually it's, again, like Adam said, it's you find out the function. Mm. So it's a split between people who want just an area to look out on, to see nice things like beds and focal points like that, a bit of lawn, and then you've got those
seating area, eating area.
Exactly right.
Yeah. It's more of barbecue.
Outdoor kitchen.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay. But in city gardens, it's so important to just maximise the space that you've got.
Yeah, because absolutely.
Some of them are odd shapes, they're small sizes, they're thin, so it's kind of having a conversation to say what's most important to you, and then how can we make that work in your garden?
Absolutely, because you see a lot of these, certainly a few years ago, it was very popular, where they were making outside rooms kind of thing, where you take the back room, whatever it was, of the house, and put you know, glass doors on it that opened up into a bigger room that was actually part of the garden.
What about ponds? I personally love a pond. Every house I've lived in, we've built a pond or whatever. My kids have all grown up with ponds. Do you get much?
I've got a lake.
Is like Toad Hall, you know.
I've got a lake and I didn't build it. It was there.
We don't get much call to put ponds in. We get a lot of call to take ponds out.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, it's so sad.
We've got lots of young families.
Yeah,
but babies can grow up with ponds.
Yeah,
absolutely. But it's kind of, people just want to be able to leave their kids in the garden.
String them up under a tree.
Right. No, just roll around.
Again, city gardens as well, if you've got a smaller space, ponds tend to take up quite a lot of space.
Yeah.
And if you're in a smaller garden, because they've got to be a certain size. And it could be a multifunctional space.
Ours just gives us endless. We just sit, have a coffee by it. We've got quite a noisy road, the Herne Bay Road.
Her and her husband sit in it.
Yeah, we sat in it when before.
They sit in the pond.
Yeah. Well, when we dug it, because it was around lockdown, and we had a designer, and he couldn't do it for 5 months. So Gav said, "I'll do it," and he did it, and it's beautiful. So we're in year two now. But when it was empty, it was that heat wave we had, and I got a bottle of champagne, sat in it. It's deep. It's up to here. And it was great. You've seen pictures of it. But then somebody's pond broke, and they gave us all these huge, what are they called? That we've got, the fish? They're huge.
Koi carp.
Yeah, koi carp. Huge. One of them's 25 years old. They're monsters. Mm. And she just gave us a load of them. And we just sit by it most days with a coffee, even in the winter.
Watching the seagulls fish them out.
Watching the seagulls. We've had to net it with seagulls.
It's very mindful doing that.
It's just beautiful. And Gav, because of the noise of the road, he's built a waterfall. Now, he's a journalist, so how he did it, I don't know, but he's quite arty.
Okay, so coming back to the professionals.
Yeah. Who wouldn't take as long?
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by the range of different things that you're asked to do and the kind of things. And I get exactly what you're saying, Adam. It's down to the householder what they want as a function from their garden. And of course, with city type gardens, you can't go mad because there's just not enough space. So you kind of have to have virtually one function, really.
Absolutely, yeah. But sometimes part of our job's trying to put a kind of reality spin on things. Sometimes people have ideas and they would look nice, but in reality it might not work correctly.
Right.
Like something that's quite in fashion now is checkerboard style patios,
right,
where you have it laid out like it's stepping stone, but in the middle of it you'd have like a bit of grass,
herbs,
for example.
But
a really thin line between it. It looks great, but functionally, if you're maintaining that, it's a nightmare to try and mow over. So we could do something else, or we could put gravel in there instead. So yeah.
Right. I want to talk about this now. I want to talk patios, because I blooming hate patios. I hate my patio with a vengeance. I've lived in my house 18 years now. I'm on my 6th patio in the same place. Yeah. As I explained to you, my place is built on clay. Within 6 months of building the patio, the whole thing's broken up again. Yeah, it just collapses and falls apart. I fall over it when it rains every night. I slip over on it. What's the alternatives? Is there anything you can do about anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we found that during the heat wave that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Even though we do like a really thick sub base, things were still moving because of the clay. The heat obviously shrinks.
Yeah.
So what we do now is we use a steel reinforcing mesh in the cement bed on top of the sub base, so the whole thing acts as like a pad on top of the pad.
Get it? Yeah. Okay.
You know, so unless you have a level change where you need like an expansion gap,
right?
You know, the whole thing will kind of shift as one. So if you wanted us to relay it for you, artificial grass it.
Yeah. I'll start saving up. I will talk to you about that because it is something I need to do, and I think I might have asked you this before, but again, as I said, I've got a swimming pool. So I've got a patio and then it goes up a level and then I've got another patio around the swimming pool. Again, that's a nightmare because the pointing comes out all the time, especially around the capstones around the pool, stuff like that. What's the best kind of thing to put around a pool I'm going to make you all fall about laughing or pull faces at me. I even thought about tarmacking it at one stage.
Oh, please.
look at their faces. Oh, yeah.
He's got a beautiful garden. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's out the front where you could tarmac it as part of the drive, I probably wouldn't recommend it. But you can use composite decking.
Right, okay.
You know, get away from the stone entirely, because if your ground is prone to, you know, moving around.
Yeah.
Use something that's a lot more versatile.
Okay.
So decking.
What's decking like in a swimming pool environment? Does it get a bit slimy or
anything you put around a swimming pool?
Slippery. Yeah. Slippery. Yeah.
Well, it's like you go on holiday. You know.
Yeah.
It's like effectively like the sun lounger.
Yeah.
In and out of the pool.
Mm. Yeah.
It needs a clean, but it'll be fine.
Yeah. Although composite decking is not, unlike real decking, it won't rot. So it won't have water ingress. It won't have anything like that.
So it's some kind of like plastic type.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like a composite material. It looks very, very good. So if you were, unless you get very, very close to it, you wouldn't be able to tell that it's not real wood.
Okay.
It has raised graining on it. It looks fantastic. And then the way we installed it is we put it in on a composite subframe as well.
Okay.
So that everything is. It won't ever rot. A lot of people, when they install it, because it's quite expensive, they'll install it but on a wooden frame to save a bit of money.
So then the wooden frame rots
exactly
underneath.
Right. I've been around to so many jobs where they've got composite decking, they've called us in and the joists have gone, and I'm like, well, let's have a quick look, and they're made of wood, and it's like, why have you made it out of wood? I don't understand. So it's something like a swimming pool. A lot of times, yes, I think composite decking is probably a really good option.
And also it's splinterless.
Exactly.
That's a good word, splinterless.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, one of the problems with wood around a swimming pool is you're running around it with your bare feet, and, you know, once it gets churned up a little bit, you get splinters.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
I'm just thinking about wildlife, because I always leave a little...
She leads the wildlife.
I leave a little bit for wildlife, and we've had our council, I think I might have told you, they chopped down buckthorn bushes.
Oh, we're not going to talk about your bush again.
My bush.
For goodness sake.
So we've got a wild area in at the top of our road, which is a big triangle that you can't park on and everything. It's been wild for 100 years with buckthorn bushes. Largest roost in Kent for sparrows and starlings. There was a nightingale, there was a fox, there were weasels, all sorts of, you know, butterflies and things. And they just came and destroyed it 2 years ago, and then they just destroyed the other one. And it's an all-year-round roost, and all the birds were flying out while the contractors did it. Broke my heart, I cried, actually. And me and this bird watcher, ornithologist chap, have been fighting with the Green Party to stop them doing the last two. But since they did that, which was a year ago, I've lost all the birds in my garden, because birds don't just stay in one place. As you know, they fly from field to field to field, and all around Whitstable, build. So I think it's really important for people like you to sort of encourage your clients to put a wildlife area in.
Absolutely.
Bit.
Yeah, no, 100%. So with, you know, obviously planting and bits and pieces, but mainly hedging.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like a nice hawthorn hedge.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it provides screening, a boundary, and it provides habitat as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Sorry, Adam, I'll let you come in a minute. I built a dead hedge down one side of my land.
Was it you that built it? Personally?
Yeah, no, it was me
did
and
you?
Dan built it, yeah.
Okay.
I actually did physically build it, yes. And that is a haven for birds nesting. Yeah, and funny enough, it, some of it actually rooted and started to grow as well, which was quite bizarre.
It's really quite easy as well to make a wild flower garden in your garden somewhere, and they do packs called Shake and Rakes. There's a company called Mr. Fothergills who I used to work for.
It's a good company.
Yeah, very
it?
Good. They're a lovely company to work for, and their seeds are fantastic. However, they do something called a Shake and Rake, where all you have to do is have a bit of land, you just shake it on there, rake it in, and it will just take care of itself.
You
don't
do
have
that
to
all?
Do anything.
I've actually used them on. I do actually have a lake in my ground, and I have a bluebell wood as well on one side of it. But on one side of the lake, it was all thistles and stinging nettles and stuff like that, because I do have a wild garden. And I got a bit annoyed with it eventually, and I cut all that back. And, of course, it was just bare on the bank. So I actually used whatchamacallops.
The shake and rake
seeds. B-bomb, I used a B-bomb.
Yeah, B-bombs as well. They're
quite
very good.
Yeah. I buy them as presents to people. They make really nice presents.
They're really good, yeah. And there's specific ones that will encourage stuff. So if you want birds in your garden, there's one specifically for birds. One's for bees, one's for insects. So,
okay.
And it takes 5 minutes to do. And
leave a little nettle patch. That's what I do. Nettle patch.
What I need is something that discourages squirrels. I hate squirrels.
Squirrel gate.
Get a cat.
Yeah. I got Mexican squirrels.
Okay.
They must be Mexican, right? I got all these bird tables and hanging baskets, and the squirrels just have everything out of them. Within 10 minutes, they have the lot. I caught one squirrel the other day. I got a big thing with fat balls in it. They couldn't get the fat balls out, so they took the whole thing down and took it back to their tree. Anyway, I was trying to find anti-squirrel stuff, and I tried lots of anti-squirrel bird feeders. None of them worked. The squirrels could get into them.
You bought a
really expensive one. The guy gave me this huge... No squirrel has ever got into this. It was up 15 minutes, and the squirrels emptied it. And I showed him a video, and he went, "You must have hung it wrong."
Of course.
Anyway, I was on the Royal Society of the Protection of Birds website, and it said, this is how you deter squirrels, yeah? Birds have no sense of taste, so you mix all the food with very hot chilli, and squirrels don't like hot chilli. So I sat there, I mixed all the food with really hot chilli, I put it out, and my squirrels ate the lot. So they must be Mexican squirrels. They've got to be, haven't they? Because they're the only ones that like chili.
I was about to suggest chili, but now you've said that. I always wondered whether it was a myth or not, but it obviously is. So
what are you working on at the moment? Anything interesting?
Yeah, we've got a good few projects in at the moment. We've got there's a large one that we're starting, huge patio area, porcelain, really lovely.
Porcelain?
Porcelain.
What's that? The floor is porcelain?
Yeah, the patio is porcelain.
Wow, is that not slippery?
Not particularly, no. It can.
I'm thinking of a china cup.
No, not at all. I mean, it's similar-ish, it's just a different... Porcelain's more kind of contemporary, modern looking, so it's very clean, all the lines are, you know, you get it in similar sized slabs. It's a particular look. A lot of people like to go for sandstone, for example. It's more of a kind of country garden Mediterranean look that's really popular at the moment. We've got about 7 or 8 projects I think running currently,
because now is the time, isn't it, to think about it as we go into February, March, April. So it's nice for summer,
perfect time now to get in, especially with the likes of us. Is this is our supposed to be our quiet season. It's not, for some reason. The storm has been great for us because everyone's fence has blown down, so we get calls every single
and the trees
day.
I suppose
but it's we get booked up very, very quickly in the summer, so the winter months are the best time to book someone like us up, for example, because in the summer everyone wants it done the next day. We've had people that book in 3 or 4 months in advance with us to try and get work done. Now's a good time.
Well, if you're good, then there will be a waiting list, and you have to accept that with
absolutely
anybody that's good, really.
Luke, Adam, thank you so much for that. Terra Firma Landscapes, give us a shout for your website so people can find out more about what you do and can get you to start planning some of these things for them.
Yes, yeah, the website is www.terrafirmalandscapes.co.uk. Pop on there, and then obviously if you want to say hi to us, just send us an email, info@terrafirmalandscapes.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you go on their Instagram, I was going to say, there's some beautiful views there and scenery. I go on it quite a lot just for a buzz.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instagram is Terra Firma Landscapes, is it?
Yeah. Terra Firma Landscapes LTD.
I see what you did there. Okay, so have a look at their Instagram as well.
There's links to all of that on the Kent Business Radio website. They'll remain there forever, so if you didn't get to write those down, go into our website and all the links are there and you can find them there. Guys, thank you so much for that. Really fascinating insight into the whole business of gardens and outdoor space. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to talk to Tony in the second half of the show. We've got 10 minutes left of this half. What you got, Jules?
Well, there's a Westrum Networking, and they say, we hope you can join us on February the 14th, Valentine's Day, for our next meeting with Westrum-focused businesses. We're delighted to be able to host the meeting at Valence on the Green. Where's that, Paul?
Westrum.
Okay. Is it a green? What is Valence? Is it a restaurant or a pub? I want to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will hear from the team, and also Alistair McCluskey, Wealth Management, will be there. We'll be raising money for Valence School at the meeting with our business card draw. We also have the Tunbridge Wells Networking Group, and they want you to join them in February, which is Regis Pluto House. All these strange places. Mm. The meeting is sponsored by Synergy Chartered Accountants, and it's February the 15th, so the day after, 10:30 to midday. You can go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a little /calendar, and you'll find out all the events and everyone that's been on the show as well today.
Talking about Westrum, in a couple of weeks' time, we've got Sophia back.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Sophia Mia, he owns a restaurant in Westrum, a very upmarket Indian restaurant. The Wheelhouse, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And he's coming on with his son.
Oh, lovely, the footballer.
Yeah, Zidane, who plays football in the Spanish La Liga.
Yeah, because he's had quite an important operation, so he's fighting fit. Good.
Yeah.
We got a business terrace as well. Is your marketing strategy right for 2024, they ask? Discover the secrets to crafting a customised marketing strategy for your business. You can join Stacey Petty from Let's Do Marketing for this free deep dive into your marketing strategy. And it's on Thursday the 8th of February, 10 a.m. to midday, and details is always kentbusinessradio.co.uk calendar.
Cool. I got this message today. My name is Sandra Dean. My son, Justin Dean, of Creative Motion, who has been a guest on your show a few times, hello, Mum, suggested that I contact you. I wondered if you might be able to give our local event a shout-out on your show, please. Myself, along with 18 other Kent-based artists and artisans, are participating in the Come Eat With Me event on the 10th to the 17th of February at Rochester Cathedral. This installation is based upon the mural painting by Leonardo da Vinci, The Last Supper, where Jesus Christ reveals his impending betrayal to his disciples. Circular individual artworks will be placed around the nation's table, the Great Fenlon Oak, along with pottery of the period, and within the cathedral artworks, which include icon artworks of the disciples, angels and archangels, Jesus and Mary. Each one will be painted by a different local artist, presenting different styles and interests. You can find out all about this exhibition by going to their website, which is spiritartsuk.wixsite.com/website15.
Cool.
That's spiritartsuk.wixsite.com.
Good job you had the horse's teeth in for that one.
Yeah, all those I borrowed them this morning.
Yeah. Well, you know that Tony, who's on after the news, if we have the news, has brought in some delicious chocolates. So Chocs on the Green, big shout out to them. It's the finest Belgium chocolates.
Have you eaten them already?
I'm going to have them during the break, all of them. Flavoured fudge. I'm going to have my elbows out just fighting the boys off. Greeting cards. They do gifts, balloons and party wear. And it's Deepak and Rita Thacker, T-H-A-K-E-R. And they're at the Green, number 7, in Westerham. We were talking about Westerham in Kent.
Yep.
And their website is Chocs, C-H-O-C-S, onthegreen.com. And they have a little, this is probably an Instagram, at Chocs on the Green, or it could be Facebook. And so, as I said, they do everything. They do greeting cards, Belgium chocolates, party wear, and gifts. So thank you for these beautiful. I shall be sampling them all, I think, because it's only fair that you would try each one just to know which one you prefer.
Oh, it's only fair.
Yeah, preferably in a chaise longue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, lying down eating.
Yeah. Okay.
Chocs on the Green.
There you go.
Westrum.
I trust Ashore have asked for a Business Bunker shout out. I trust are the app providers for a Speak Up app. But it's much more than that. You need to check it out. It's a fantastic app. Does lots and lots of different things. It's a communication app. I trust Ashore is their Twitter handle.
Wayne Cunnington listening in. He is.
Hello, Wayne. I haven't heard from you for a couple of weeks.
He is on the Twitter at Wayne TLC. I have to be careful because I always call it Waynetic, and he gets very, very off with me.
Like Waynetta.
Yeah, yeah. But it's Wayne TLC. That's really clever. It's just that I always thought the L was an I. Because you get that when you see it written down.
When you're old and you can't
see.
Yeah,
I haven't got my glasses. Yeah. I struggled with this, Chocs on the Green, because it's on green. It's very difficult. He says, I spy biscuits on the Business Bunker. Wayne, not only biscuits, I've got flowers, we've got chocolates, got some bouja, and we've got Chocs on the Green. So I'll send you a little video later,
Wayne,
just to Wayne, tickle your taste.
I've got nothing. I've got absolutely
nothing.
Well,
they thought you were still at A&E with they thought you were still at A&E with Betty.
Yeah. Chips and Dinks have tweeted, have a great show, Business Bunker, and wonderful guests. We'll catch up with the show at some point as we're busy today, but we're thinking of you all. So thank you, Bev. That's Bev from Chips and Dinks.
And Wayne has also chipped in saying, it's a lovely show today, with gardens being a big interest of mine now since the AstraZeneca injury. It's giving me some ideas. Thank you, B Bunker and Terra Firma Landscapes. He's got a really nice big garden, quite old, and I see his little tweets and things. Very nice garden he's got, quite old and established, I think, but beautiful. And he's got a pond. Yeah. I like ponds.
Stephanie Young has tweeted.
Yeah, what's she saying?
She's saying, what a great Business Bunker show today, Paul, Jules and guests. I'm tuned in and looking forward to listening to the rest of the show. And that's Steph Young, and she's in Cape Town in South Africa.
Oh, I bet the weather's nice there too. Mm-hmm. I love Cape Town. Martin Reeves says, thank you for my Bee Bunker shout out with a little thumbs up. And Michael Parts, have you read Michael Parts just now? Thank you so much for that lovely mention. Did you read that one?
Probably.
I know. I lose track.
You don't listen to me, do you?
No, I try not to.
You read Martin Reeves' one, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you do the joke about not with the Vandellas?
I did say that, yeah.
Yeah, why? I thought you might have done.
Yeah, I do. Well, Martin Reeves, everybody in here is too young to know about Martin. Maybe yeah. Tony, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
I remember Martin Reeves and the Vandellas.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my joke. Marsh Network, they have a breakfast meeting. I do love a full English. The Ship Inn, it's a 118 High Street Dymchurch, which is T for Tony. See what I did then?
See what she N- did there.
29ONS, and it's a face-to-face meeting, and it's on the 1st of February. Go to marshnetwork.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Can we have chocolates yet?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. There's a networking event taking place at Mount Vineyard. This networking event is open to chamber members, non-members, local businesses and individuals who'd like to join us and network by going face-to-face around Shoreham Village, including an incline to reach the beautiful Bluebell Woods. Meet at the coffee box at the Mount Vineyard. This network is leisurely and takes around an hour. We will meet back at the Vineyard for a slice of pizza, courtesy of Thackeray Williams, who are the sponsors of the event. And the networking event is taking place on February the 23rd, 10:30 till 12. As with all of these events, you can go to the radio website, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, and find all the details and click the booking link.
And we have Breachers, the bite-sized webinar settlement agreements, Tuesday 13th of February. It's 1 to 1:30. Breaking up is hard to do, they say. This month's employment lawyers, Petra Venton and Sophie Jarvis, will look at how to use a settlement agreement and how it can make parting company with an employee less of a headache. They will explore when to use a settlement agreement and the common pitfalls that businesses need to consider. It's a 30-minute webinar, and they will be looking at what protection a settlement agreement offers, what without prejudice and protected conversations mean, a brief summary of the tax treatments of payments, practical tips on securing the best deal in a timely manner. You can go to www.brachers.co.uk/events/brachers-bite-size-settlement. Agreements. See, when I say bite size, I just think of the chocolates.
I know.
You know.
I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
They're there in front of us.
Medway Council have emailed us about an event they've got going on, helping businesses to grow their workforce through supported internships. An opportunity to learn from other businesses during a complimentary networking brunch and meet the providers who can support you in Medway. This event is taking place at the Royal Engineers Museum, which is in Prince Arthur Road, Gillingham, and it's on February the 29th, 9:45 to 12:30. As always, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada for full details and a booking link.
I'm trying to take a picture of Chocks on the Green for Twitter. Then we have... Oh, that's far too long to read before the news. Are we doing the news today or...?
No.
Okay. Before the break, then, I should say. It's the new thing, isn't it, before the break?
It's so new, it's only been 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, time flies. Artist Talk with Joel Eli, Saturday the 3rd of February, 3 to 4pm at the Beanie in Canterbury. Mm. You can meet the artists in Storytellers, discover the narratives behind their work and engage directly with them during our elusive Artist Talks. So it's Joel Eli. He's the Artist Talk is Kaz Holmes in conversation with Rob Smith. So that's www.ticketsource.co.uk/Kent-creative. Always a goodie, that one. And it's at the Beanie in Canterbury. You can pop into Fruitworks after, perhaps.
You certainly could. Yeah. And we've got some lovely food and coffee and tea on offer there. Mm. And we've got a bit of a new menu as well.
What is
going
in it?
Down. We've got organic soup.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Applewood toasted cheese and onion toasties.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
They are absolutely to die for.
Mm, how many have you had?
Each day.
Each hour.
Yeah, a few.
Mm, a delicious. Few.
Yeah, they are. Listen, we're going to have a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Tony Cheeseman and hear some more of your tweets and emails. So let's go and have a break.
And Terra Firma Landscapes.
Yeah.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.